Sunday the 26th of March 2023, 9 o'clock service. Sermon series, Towards the Cross. Sermon title, Getting Closer. Bible reading, Matthew chapter 26, verses 1 to 13. Talk by Reverend Christine Harding. There was a technical issue with the recording of the Bible reading, so I'll read that in for you now, and then it'll be over to Christine. So it's Matthew chapter 26, starting at verse 1. The plot against Jesus. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, "As you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." Then the chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and they schemed to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. "But not during the festival," they said, "or there may be a riot among the people." Jesus anointed at Bethany. While Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. "Why this waste?" they asked. "This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor." Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." And this is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and I pray that the words that I speak will be your words, and that you would speak into each of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, getting closer. Matthew gives us a powerful picture of Jesus' final week. The Jewish establishment is beginning to gather strength and continue to plot against him. Throughout chapter 26, we begin to see things unfolding, and we are reminded of the final events of Jesus' journey to the cross. We are in the last weeks of Lent, which is a time when we focus on all the events leading up to the cross. And it's only right that we should be focusing on Jesus as we prepare ourselves for the next week, the beginning of Jesus' journey into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, when everyone came out to welcome him, laying palm leaves down on the floor, shouting, "Hosanna!" But more of that next week. It's also a reminder of us welcoming Jesus into our hearts and a willingness to put him first and to follow him. Today's reading reminds us that Jesus knew exactly what the future held for him. So he took the opportunity to spend time with his disciples in a safe environment at the home of Simon the leper, which many hold the view that he had been healed by Jesus, otherwise he couldn't entertain anyone, but possibly just kept his nickname, leper. During this time with his disciples, he reminded them that the Passover was only 2 days away and he will be handed over to be crucified. And during this conversation, a woman enters with an alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume, which is believed to be Mary. She begins to pour oil onto Jesus' head, which causes a bit of a stir amongst some of the disciples as they started to have a moan about being wasteful. They pointed out that this perfume could have been sold at a high price and perhaps given to the poor. But Jesus steps in and says in verse 10, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me." Jesus then goes on to remind them that the poor will always be with them, but he won't always be with them. Jesus isn't saying that we shouldn't work with the poor, far from it. And actually, many read this as a command to continue working with the poor and needy. But he's making a point that he comes first, and that there are some things in this world that we can do at any time, but also there are some things that can only be done once at a particular time. And if we don't do it, we will miss the opportunity, because the time will never return. So we must be wise in our discernment in every situation and not put off doing things today until tomorrow, because it might be too late. Although all the disciples were indignant, John in his gospel singles out Judas Iscariot in chapter 12, verse 4, as the one who called it a waste. But how do we see it? Do we see it as a waste, or was something more significant going on here? The sad thing is that in our society today, there are many people who consider following Jesus a complete waste of time. But it always amazes me that those who do not believe often have a lot to say when something bad happens. Like, if there is a God, why did he allow this or that to happen? But when something good happens, they have very little to say. In some ways, that's what we are seeing in this passage. Although they knew and loved Jesus, they were still quick to jump on the bandwagon and complain about something being wasted, but failed to see the good that was being offered. This woman was prepared to give everything she had for Jesus, because he meant everything to her. She didn't ask how much is too much, but gave sacrificially. Unlike the others who had not understood why or what she was doing, it was an act of adoration and worship. It was something that she could do for him. It's through the many acts of adoration and worship that we do on a daily basis that makes the difference. And when we go that extra mile for the love of Jesus and others, our hearts begin to entwine with heaven, allowing the Holy Spirit to be active in us. And the more we do this, the closer we are drawn to God, in ways that allow him to seep deeper into us, transforming us from within. We are drawing closer to Easter and all that that means. And it's not about fluffy bunnies, yellow chicks, or even chocolate eggs, but it's about Jesus, who gave up everything for us. He went to the cross willingly for you and for me, to save us from our sinful ways. And during Lent, it's a time for us to remember his sacrifice as we follow his path to the cross. This chapter reminds us of the sacrificial love given by Mary, who journeyed with Jesus. She gets it. And this act of worship was to prepare him for what was about to happen. The disciples, however, still hadn't fully understood that Jesus must die. But Mary did. She has spent time at the feet of Jesus, listening and learning from him. She knows what Jerusalem means for her Lord. This may be the last time she sees him, and so she gives him her best. her all. She's not wasting her time, effort, or perfume. She understood that if we're not willing to waste our lives for Jesus, we will waste our lives, time, opportunities, and maybe our souls to other things. Because to waste our lives for Jesus is the only way to gain lives in eternity. That's the question for us to ask ourselves this morning. Are we willing to waste everything for the love of God and what he has done for us? Or are we still holding back because we're not sure or haven't quite got it? In 1 John 4:10, we are reminded of God's extravagant love for us. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. When Mary showed her love for Jesus, she gave her very best. In the same way, God showed his love to us by giving his very best, his Son. Not only did God send him to save us, but more importantly, he went willingly. He knew what lay ahead of him, but did not turn back or walk the other way. He didn't worry what others thought. He knew his destiny. How many times do we stop doing something because of what others might think? Instead of stepping out in faith and doing what we feel Jesus is asking of us. What Mary did was incredible on many levels. She didn't worry what others thought, only about her relationship with her Lord. Remember the time when Jesus visited the home of Mary and Martha in Luke 10, 40 to 42. And Martha was working hard, but Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to what he said. She wasn't worried or upset that Martha was doing all the work. Neither was Jesus, who said to Martha, "You are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away." Although both were serving Jesus, Mary didn't even worry what her sister thought. She always did what she felt was the right thing to do for her Lord. And in the word for today, on Monday the 13th reading, it says, when God gives you a vision of what he wants you to do, you will have to go against the flow of the world. Society wants to keep you in a box. They seek safety and simple answers. So you need to give yourselves permission to go a different way, to break ground. It then goes on to say, what has God called you to do? What is your role in it? What skill sets do you need to sharpen? What relationships do you need to acquire? And what relationships do you need to build? Wonderful words of wisdom. So let's take them on board and make sure that we are not stopped by anything as we serve the Lord together. Because if we feel God is calling us to do something, then we need to step out in faith and do it. In closing, let's recap by asking ourselves this question. Why is Jesus worth so much? I believe Paul, who used to persecute Christians, finally saw the light, and after he had considered everything, gives us a clear answer in Philippians 3, 7 to 8. But whatever was to be my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. This is a profound statement about values, reminding us that a person's relationship with Jesus is more important than anything else. Mary understood this without a doubt, but sometimes we struggle to grasp what it means to be a follower of Jesus, because there is something about our human nature that resists change. We cling to old habits and things we understand, like wearing an old pair of shoes that we feel comfortable in. And when the time comes for us to throw them away and buy a new pair, we are reluctant to, because we know that we will have to start again, breaking them in until we feel comfortable in them. The promise of the Bible is that we can feel comfortable, secure, and loved by God, even through change. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love because He first loved us." The love of God changes everything because it leaves God's fingerprints on our lives. In other words, when God touches us with His love, we begin to really love God back and understand more fully what it truly means to love other people. And the more we understand this, the more we find ourselves transforming the way we respond to others' needs. This is what Mary was demonstrating: an outstanding love. When Paul says in Romans 8:35, "Nothing can separate us from God's love," he means that even we cannot snatch ourselves from His hand, because if we have true faith, we will maintain that faith until the end. And for all those who belong to Christ will belong to Him forever. It's through God's amazing grace that any are saved. And shortly we're going to be singing Amazing Grace. And whilst we're singing, let those words really stir something within us as we explore God's amazing grace more fully. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for all that You do for us. Father, we thank You that You gave us Your Son, and He went to the cross for each and every one of us, so that our lives may be set free, that we can stand up for You and to worship You and sing Your praises, and to continue to grow closer to You each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Christine. Wonderful word, as always. I'd never thought of God as an old pair of shoes. So that's an interesting one. Theologically, we'll go through that, I'm sure. But a wonderful reminder that we give our best because He has given His best for us. I wonder how we do that.